how you get around Ukraine. It's such a big country that they don't have good highways or anything like that. So you have to take the night train. They have these going from all over the country every night. The sleeper trains. And they're slow and noisy and smelly.
All that tickets
and passports, okay? I'm gonna get that. Ticket and passport. And we're gonna get on the train. All right, here we go.
Ice in my veins, I've been driving this train. Years in this lane, there's no stopping this flame. Cause I came to the game and I changed it to play. How I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes. Taking shots, skipping breaks, feeling lost, feeling great. Popping off, singing straight, never stopped, never changed. All the squad here to play and I've got something to say, yeah. I work hard each and every day. I get lost in the words I say. I don't push pods, no, I push play.
So I splurged and got an entire berth to myself. This is actually supposed to be two people, but I got it all to myself. It's got two small beds here, and I'm going to see if they get wider. These are really narrow, but I guess we'll find out.
Okay, so to turn on the light, you can hit, this is half the lights and this is all the lights apparently. This is night light, and this is lights off. I've got the reading light on over there, so that's what we got. This must be the bell, a lock of some sort. I'm afraid to push those ones. I'm not sure what they do. There's a speaker here where they announce something. You can turn that up if you want. I'm not gonna do it. Down here, this is interesting. This is the door. We have a lock here. If I flip this out, then the door won't open and nobody can get in. I like that too. That's cool. So it's a 12-hour ride back to Kiev, and we did this on the way out, coming from Kiev down to the southeastern part of Ukraine. We've been here for about a week. And so, see you later. The trip down was on a different kind of train that had four berths in each one, or four bunks in each berth. And it was decidedly less comfortable than this will be, I have to say, for sure. No doubt about it. And we were packed in there with two guys that we didn't know, and they stayed up late eating smelly food and listening to music on their phones and stuff like that. So was not too comfortable. And the tracks, this system was built by the Soviets, of course, and so it's not exactly what you would call comfortable or even designed for comfort. Wasn't well built. You really get a sense being here, even just driving around outside of Kiev, there's just a tremendous amount of infrastructure that was built during the Soviet era that is just going, you know, to waste. It's just dilapidated and overgrown, falling down, not being used, abandoned. They must have, back then the state owned you, right? And they told you what you were gonna do with your life, for the most part. And then they had crews of people who were construction workers, and their job was to construct things. And so it seems to me like they made a habit of building things even if they didn't need to be built, or else the Soviet Union must have been far more productive than that this whole area is today by a long shot. Because you go to, I've been to Ukraine now, go to Armenia, you see the same thing. Just an incredible amount of massive structures, big factories and warehouses and power plants and mines and things like that, that are all just disused and abandoned. And this rail system was also built by that same system. Now, that think about the way communism works. You get told what you're going to do, and you work for the state, and the state, you know, provides for your needs, more or less. Now, we're leaving, so I'm gonna hang on, check this out.
Flies into flawless traits, I build tall, never cap in space. I won't stop till I hear him say.
So we're leaving a town called like Krakatorst, something like that. That's very hard to pronounce or even remember the names of most of these towns because they just sound so foreign to our tongues. But anyway, back to what I was talking about with communism. They own you, they tell you what to do, you work for the state, they provide for your needs in return, and they essentially reduced everyone to the lowest common denominator. So the only way you can make everybody equal is to make everybody equally poor, and that's kind of what it did. So the as badly as the state took care of the people worked just as badly for the state. If it's if you get your portion given to you to live on, regardless of whether or not you work super hard or don't work at all, you know, or just do the absolute bare minimum, then there's not much motivation to do above and beyond, to work harder, to stay longer at work, to try to, you know, because there's no possible chance for you to have any upward mobility. Your lot in life is what the state determines it to be, and that's what you get. So that is the fundamental failing and flaw in communism. It reduces everyone to the lowest common denominator, and it forsakes human nature, which is to want to work to better yourself, your family, your station, whatever. Now, Ukraine and Russia too has come out of communism and has gone tremendously the other way, where it's like, you know, get all you can, when you can, how you can, and so there's a lot of conspicuous consumption, there's a lot of you know, just sort of scams and frauds and buyer beware in the former Soviet Union, but especially in Russia. They say that Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. On a day-to-day level, you don't, at least I haven't seen a ton of that just in the going about our business. I see what I would call corruption or depravity in Panama a lot, where people, what they call it, wake of evil, where you just get one over on the people that you're working with, if at all possible. And you see that in the way they drive, you see that in the way that they interact with each other, and certainly with us as foreigners living there. I've often said that their motto should be, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and if you get caught, you're not trying hard enough. And it's also easy to say that it's not offensive to step in front of someone in line, cut in front of somebody in traffic. It's only offensive to get mad at somebody for doing so. And I think a lot is the same here. One of the things I've noticed about the former Soviet Union, most especially here in Ukraine and in Russia, is that they're just not a smiley people. They're not a warm, open people. Maybe when you get into the culture somewhat and learn the language and make some friends and get to know them, they tend to be very nice. But even the people that we've made friends with here, just culturally, are far more harsh and angry than you would find in the United States. This sense of even just professionalism that we have in the U.S. that you know, I had to learn getting out of the army that you can't just, you know, go to somebody you're working with and go, you screwed up and don't do that again. that doesn't go over well in the United States. And I was taught that you have to approach somebody and be complimentary and then say, look, could you maybe go ahead and next time think about doing it a little bit differently? You know, kind of approach criticism from an oblique angle with people in the United States. They don't do that here. They just say, that's wrong, do not do, you know. Even when I can't understand people's conversations, it always, to my American sensibility, feels like every conversation between two Ukrainians is some form of, what do you think, I'm an idiot? What's wrong with you? You stupid? You know, they seem to be very contradictory all the time. And that's just my sense. I'm probably wrong, but again, you know, when you approach the world, you always bring your own biases with you, and in so doing, you are gonna, you know, have a certain opinion about the way things work in the country you're in. Anyway, so I'm gonna get ready for bed because it's 11:30 at night, and this thing's gonna be rolling all night long. So I might as well get some sleep while I'm here.
Man, I'm up again. I got tired eyes, need a cup of blend. That's right, in the AM, that's my only friend. No light.
I had a pretty good night's sleep. It's much quieter than the last time because I got this room to myself. Definitely worth that. The tickets are not that expensive. I think it was about $300 to get six seats. So $50 for a 12-hour train ride all the way across the country. A bullet train, this is not. It's not going very fast. But we've still got a ways to go before we get to Kyiv.